the ever-expanding list of morbidly obese EVs with offensively mammoth batteries highlights the comprehensive disregard the car industry has for taking effective climate action. Car companies worship one thing, and one thing only: money. It's their god, and they will do anything to get it. So, in this report, I'm going to show you how buying a diesel SUV plus a home solar system with a battery is both cheaper and greener than owning one of those gargantuan rolling jokes. I'm Jimmy Cadogan from AutoExpert.com.au, new cars cheap, Australia only, website, card. When I say anything, dude, I really do mean anything. They will do anything for money, car makers. They rove you wrong time, darling. Toyota, for example, knowingly lying through its trousers to more than a quarter of a million customers just to keep those defective diesels selling like hot friggin' cakes. Ford will watch its customers burn, literally, in the case of Pinto, and decide that this is the most cost-effective and therefore acceptable course of action. Dude, Ford is a very, very special company in the domain of morality and ethics. They really are. Ford thought it was okay one day in Argentina, perplexingly enough, to operate an illegal employee detention and torture centre in its frickin' factory. Talk about ultimate employee incentive program. Like, Jesus, dudes. They went, yeah, sure, detention centre. Would you like fries with that? Nobody could make that shit up. They actually did it. And Volkswagen, well, if you have to poison several thousand people around the world in a massive criminal conspiracy just to appease, I don't know, key stakeholders, I guess that's an acceptable trade-off too. Provided you don't get caught. We could do this all day, but against this hilarious anything goes, very sorry we got caught, corporate mindset backdrop of the industry, perhaps it's unsurprising, therefore, that car makers are manufacturing these perverted, obese EVs that waste resources and do nothing in terms of climate action. In the domain of egregious waste of resources and total climate ineffectiveness, it really doesn't get more offensive than when a car maker builds some giant 2.5 frickin' ton EV with a battery larger than 90 kilowatt hours. And then, of course, they cop some kind of reach around from the likes of the local Minister for Blackouts and Scientific Illiteracy for being so fucking green. Net zero. Shit, yeah. What vehicles are we actually talking about here? Well, let's start with that absurd Kia EV9. 100 kilowatt hours, please. How about Polestar? The fake Swedish Chinese electric car maker is intrinsically a joke in my book, with an experience centre at Chaddy, right next to the Dunnies. I thought that was so funny, but the Polestar 3 is the real punchline here at 111 kilowatt hours. Like, take that, planet Earth. The Tesla Cybertruck now, the mighty Jesus X own gravedigger. Here's a proper shitbox that looks almost as ridiculous as its estimated 120 kilowatt hour battery. And BMW too, the Bavarian money wasters. What the actual fuck were they thinking with the 106 kilowatt hour battery in the absurdly irrelevant i7? Probably thinking the same as everyone else following this offensive supersized battery trend. How many rich, green, virtuous serial masturbators can we fleece this month? Because that's what this is really all about, right? Money, obviously. This is what the girlfriend experience feels like if you have too much money and not enough sense to know that this is a truly fucked up concept. Wrapping those wasted resources in a cloak of green virtue in exchange for mission control, giving some car maker the go for docking procedures with some rich twat's bank account, and hoping no horrible personage on YouTube actually calls them out for this kind of conduct. So, you buy your EV9, your Polestar 3 or i7 or similar morbidly obese battery-powered shitbox, and you divorce yourself from oil. You go, girl. Save that planet. Let's say you retired in this process a reasonably late model diesel Sorento or similar. 159 grams of climate-killing CO2 for every kilometre it drove, times 15,000 of those annually. That's about 2.4 tonnes every year. You planet friggin' saver. The 100 kilowatt-hour battery in a shitbox such as the EV9 has something in the order of 10 tonnes of CO2 embodied in its construction. So there's the first 4 years of its operation literally up in smoke until you break even on CO2. And that's only if you charge it up exclusively on green electricity. Unlikely. That thing has a range of about 500 kilometres, I think. So if you do 15,000 Ks a year notionally, that's the equivalent of about 30 full recharges. And let's say, because we operate in the real world, you only manage 2/3 of those recharges using actual green electricity. How does that affect you? How long does that take to claw back, to break even on CO2? Pick a number, dude. What do you reckon it is? Electricity in Australia is about 660 grams of CO2 for every kilowatt hour. I just worked that out from first principles, right? That's what you get when you take the total generation capacity of the nation, which is roughly 273,000 gigawatt hours, and you divide it by the CO2 produced by electricity generation, which is roughly 155 million tonnes, plus roughly half of the fugitive emissions from coal mines. And I'm choosing half because half of the coal is exported and the other half gets burned here. Roughly 25 million tonnes for that. And you can crunch those numbers yourself. It's about 660 grams for every kilowatt hour. So if you only purchase filthy electricity for 1/3 of the vehicle's operation, that's 1,000 kilowatt hours annually, or another 660 kilos of CO2 for every year that you drive. And if you run the numbers on that, it takes 5 years and 9 months to break even on CO2, dude. If you only use green electricity 1/3 of the time, it's roughly 9 years and 5 months. At about which time you'd have to suppose that the battery is going to be somewhat rooted, I expect. Especially if you do those things that inflict the death of 1,000 cuts on a battery, such as, in no particular order, charge it to 100%, like charge it fully, discharge it fully, use it when it's hot, use it when it's cold, or accelerate really, really heavily, etc. 9 years and 5 months. In other words, your virtuous green driving has been roughly as green as driving a frickin' diesel Sorento for the whole time, and now you'll be scrapping the car because battery replacement is horribly uneconomic, so yay. If you don't use any green electricity at all and you just suck the filthy stuff off the grid, it would be a bit of green zealotry gone wrong, I'd suggest, on a bender, perhaps. Coke-fueled bender. It's going to take like 24 years to break even on CO2. And let's face facts, the car's not going to last that long, dude. Like, come on. Obviously, the grid is going to evolve and get a little greener over time, but you get the point here, right? Most buyers of these stupid premium EVs will not own them for long enough to break even on CO2. They just won't. So what happens if you just keep your diesel SUV or go again with a new diesel? Well, in the case of a Sorento versus an EV9, up front, you're going to save about 60 grand. So there's that. So of that 60 grand, how about you drop 10 of it on a quality solar array and a quality inverter for your home? Okay, call it 6.6 kilowatts. That's quite common. That'll probably generate on average 20 kilowatt hours a day, which is more electrical energy than you probably use at your home on average. The average household use in Sydney is actually 14 kilowatt hours every day. That's according to finder.com.au using data from the Australian Energy Regulator. There's a report you can look for. It's called Residential Energy Consumption Benchmarks. It was prepared by Frontier Economics if you want to look it up. So if I were going to embark on the whole solar adventure today, I would pair my new solar system with a battery. Like, not negotiable, dude. I'd use a Bluetti EP760 modular single phase residential energy storage system. What a mouthful. I'll put a link in the description and also somewhere up there. This report is not sponsored by Bluetti, incidentally. Like, I do have an affiliate arrangement with them and I have tested a lot of their products and I am genuinely impressed with the work that they do. If you did want to go that way, I can swing you a $300 discount on the unit. I'll put details in the description and I will earn a small commission, full disclosure, okay? But that's not why I'm doing this. That's the extent of my arrangement with Bluetti. I'm certainly not getting paid to spruik their products to you today. It's just the way I'd go after testing, I don't know, 10 or 12 of their products and they've all functioned really well. I would use this system in a heartbeat, however, because A, it's modular. The base version, which is just under 10 grand right now, comes with two battery modules. So it's essentially three boxes. The batteries are called B500s, which are roughly 5 kilowatt hours apiece. It's actually 4.96, but hey, there's less than 1% in it. And the mental arithmetic, so much easier, let's call it 5. So you get two of those boxes plus the system control box, which contains an inverter, and the whole thing's got to get wired in by a professional for roughly 10 kilowatt hours in total with the two battery boxes. That's going to cost you just under 10 grand. Like, you can, of course, buy one or more battery modules extra, so 15 or roughly 20 kilowatt hours respectively, for a total of 3 or 4 battery modules. Maxed right out with the four modules, it's going to be 19.84 kilowatt hours. So that's going to be under 15 grand just with three modules and under 20 grand with four. And the beauty of the modularity here is if you start with two modules and you decide later that you want more battery capacity, it's easy. You just add them. These are cobalt-free lithium iron phosphate cells and there's a 10-year warranty. So it strikes me that the battery technology is safer and more environmentally friendly than most battery technology in most EVs today, and also the warranty is longer than you get in most cars. The system's also IP65 rated against dust and water ingress, so it's environmentally robust. It'll tolerate damp, dusty environments, etc. And Bluetti sells a purpose-built enclosure for external installation of the system. Like, if you want to put it outside, easily doable. And personally, I think big batteries are safer outside the dwelling. So there is an off-the-shelf external solution if you want that. Lithium iron phosphate is less likely to run away thermally than other battery chemistry, but still safer outside, at least in my opinion. They call it an EP760 because it produces a maximum of 7.6 kilowatts. Now, if you don't speak electricity, in the Australian Standard Domestic Electricity Supply universe, Our electricity comes down the pipe as 230 volts AC with a tolerance of plus 10 to minus 6%. So basically, this system is a 32 amp single phase pure sine wave supply, like domestic electricity maxed out at 32 amps. 230 volts at 32 amps plus or minus a frag for the standard equals 7.6 kilowatts. It's a lot of electricity. I had a talk to the Sparky who fitted my EV wall box charger about exactly that. And he said that the wires in my street, like the wires coming from the pole out the front to the house, are rated at 100 amps. But once the electricity gets inside the walls, 50 amps maximum, because there's less convection in the cavity and you don't want to burn the joint to the ground, essentially. Always nice if that doesn't happen. So average houses in Sydney use 14 kilowatt hours per day. And if that were mainly in some 6-hour window, it would average out to be about 2 kilowatts for 6 hours, plus, you know, residual overnight usage and when the dwelling is unoccupied, computers on standby, kid forgets to turn off bedroom light and rushes out the door for school, etc. This means like 10 or 15 amps would be more than enough for average household operation generally. Probably maxes out a fair bit higher than that from time to time. Like if you've got two air conditioners running and someone suddenly boils the jug, like, yeah, it's going to spike a bit. But 32 amps from that Blue Eddy battery system will pretty much run everything during a power failure, for example. And it can be configured as an uninterruptible power supply. Like, this is a thing that needs to be installed by a licensed electrician, okay? You don't just unbox it and plug it in and she's up and running. So if the grid goes down, it kicks in milliseconds, and you're not going to notice, okay? You're just going to have electricity. You're only going to notice when you look up and down your street and everyone else's house is kind of black. The other reason you want the battery is the solar array is going to be most productive in the middle of the day when the sun is more or less overhead, when a lot of people aren't actually home. So if the array cranks up, it's able to fill up the battery and you can consume that energy that you are storing on site in the evening or the next morning when the sun isn't exactly talking to the array at full volume, at least not yet. You'll probably also find yourself exporting quite a bit of electricity back to the grid, and that might make you a bit of coin on the side incrementally, but mainly it means that you will have cured your lifelong addiction to coal. Coal and emissions from coal mines are 200 million tonnes of CO2 out of roughly 465 million total tonnes here in Australia. This means coal is by far the biggest problem that we have on the CO2 landscape here in Australia, okay? You're attacking that head on doing this, okay? With a battery that's only 1/5 of the size of the battery in a morbidly obese EV. And it only uses 20% of the resources. And it only has 20% as much CO2 embodied in its frickin' manufacture, etc. So let's say that you buy a new diesel Sorento instead of some fat boy EV. You're going to have 60 grand left over compared with buying that lardy arsed EV9. 60 grand's a lot of money to most people, just saying. You could afford to drop 10 grand on a really high quality array and some inverter from Europe, and also drop 20 grand on the Blue Eddy EP760 with 4 modules, i.e. the biggest version they sell, and you're still going to be 30 grand in front, dude. Admittedly, your vehicle's still going to be emitting 2.4 tonnes of CO2 every year, but you no longer require grid electricity, right? And that's going to save you 3.4 tonnes every year. The difference, 3.4 minus 2.4, I'm sure you can work it out every year, 1 tonne. Of course, the battery in the Blue Eddy EP760 doesn't come free of CO2 embodiment. It's probably got 2 tonnes of CO2 embodied in its manufacture if you buy 4 modules, as opposed to 10 in a fat EV. So in 2 years, you're going to break even on CO2, and every year after that, you are going to be 1 tonne in front. break even in 2 years versus 5 years to never in an EV like the EV9, Polestar 3, i7, etc. with a body mass index of frickin' infinity, and you're still 30 grand in front. This is why morbidly obese EVs are a climate action scam. They're selling the wrong kind of EVs, and governments are endorsing, especially the Australian government, because the various federal ministers for fuckwittery don't want people like you or me to focus on inconvenient truths, such as us being the world's largest exporter of coal and also liquefied natural gas. Things like our filthy expensive electricity compared with properly civilized countries, and the immoral, unethical bilateral reach around between corporate fossil fuel oligarchs and political parties that actually maintains this abhorrent status quo here in the formerly lucky country.